Got
Got it.
it. What's up, everybody? It's Poppy Marco here once again with another Boogaloo Traditions podcast brought to you by Funk and Focus and Urban Artistry. And today we have a legend here. We have him, the organizer of OG Popper's Picnic, Mr. Midnight, aka the Mannequin, aka Eddie. What's up, man? How you doing?
How you doing, sir? How you
I'm
doing?
Doing
I'm all right. Thank
I'm
you for
doing.
having me on your podcast, on your show.
Thank you. I thank you a lot. Me and Funkin Focus, thank you a lot for giving us a little bit of time and telling us your history. So let's get started. You ready?
Whenever you are, give me the questions. I'll try to answer.
Let's go. So let's talk a little bit about your upbringing artistically as a person. And I want to ask you, when did you start dancing? Like, how was your cultural background in your family? Did you have any artists in your family or among your closest friends? Any
Well, it was my
teachers?
mom. It was my mom. She got me, yes, the art, because I draw and stuff. My mom was also drawing, and she was into the music. When I'm little, you know, it was just me and her. So she got me hooked up on listening to music, the record player, playing all the records. And then my grandmother had records, 38s and 45s, jazz, big band, and then TV in the 70s. We were watching Soul Train, American Bandstand, Dick Cavett, all the variety shows, Flip Wilson. So by me watching that, watching Sesame Street, and then watching the cartoon. So I'm drawing first, but then when I'm watching TV, I have to watch what she's watching. She's watching Soul Train. She's watching American Bandstand. So here I am attached to music. And then by her playing records, I came from the disco era. That's my era. So they had the funk, but then while the funk was going on here, the disco was going on here. It was the same time. So it was a collaboration of that kind of music that I was listening to. My mom taught me how to two-step, just regular dance. You know, you go to house parties, family get-togethers, and, you know, you want to perform for your grandmother. Your great-grandmother, she's like, come on, baby, do something. Do that two-step and dance. You know, so I'm dancing with my mom, two-step. And I was weird. I couldn't dance. I was always offbeat at first. So my mom had to show me. She taught me. So I'm watching Locking because of the Soul Train. I'm watching the party dancers. This is like, because I'm born in 65. So 68, 69, I guess, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have no choice. I'm watching TV. And then I'm drawing. And then my mom did a painting. And so I saw her do the painting. So, and I get comic books, collect comic books. So now I'm drawing during my elementary school. But then during lunchtime, we're flipping. And then we're roboting. We're dancing. We're doing party dancing. And I got into robotics, like seriously, into robot, like 76. And I was watching cartoons, Gigantor, Battle of the Planets, the Godzilla, Gamera cartoons, the Sinbad, all them cartoons, Land of the Lost. It's so many. Felix the Cat, Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny was a lot. And watching I Love Lucy. That was a lot of inspiration with the mind. Yeah. So when that cartoon, dun, 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 I kind of already knew what the Egyptian was, but for him to do it, I'm like, oh, shoot. Because, you know, we're all little kids. The ones that you guys call OGs and veterans, we're all little kids, you know. And L.A. was a big place. I was born in Detroit, and I came out to Los Angeles with my mom when I was 3. So, yeah. The first thing I saw on TV was Mechanical Device. I was watching Gong Show. That's when I first saw it. In my face, in person, was Karate Gene and Santa Claus. Santa Claus is a gang member. Blood, Karate Jean was a gang member. Blood, but boom, bah, boom. They're popping. I'm in sixth grade. And then his younger brother was Sir Nose. So all of us will all go to the same school. So when I pick him up in the morning, because we all stayed in the same neighborhood, go to school, and then we come back in the afternoon, boom. I'm in the, watching what I'm seeing in the evening, and 7:30, 8 o'clock, after doing my homework, I'm watching TV a little bit. Dance Fever. Remember disco, the disco era. So you see the couples, the guy and the girl, they're discoing, they're dancing, and they're locking. But they're mixing and locking with disco, two-step, strut. It's a lot, bro. It's a lot. So I'm going to stop there. You know, it's a lot.
Awesome. That's awesome. Like, that's already a lot just for the first question. And you told us a little bit about when you started into roboting and this kind of mechanical dances.
Well, and I was trying to imitate Gigantor. And then I was trying to imitate Raiden. You know how they do the anime cartoons now? Mm-hmm. Anime? The ones that I saw when I was little was Raiden. That was on channel 52, but it was in Japanese. It wasn't in English. So it had the motorcycle, the car, the five motorcycles, and they got together and they would form the robot.
Cool.
And then Battle of the Planets, when they had the giant robot, Johnny Sacco and the flying robot. So he'll come in, ksh, 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 and the missiles will come out of his fingers, and then psh, he'll fly. So I'm trying to imitate that. I'm trying to imitate Gigantor, because I'm watching all these, because I was in a fantasy. So I'm watching all this. And then by us watching Marvel comic books, we're trying to draw, but we're also trying to imitate the Hulk, the Thing, Iron Man, you know, like way back, you know, the Spider-Man. That's for me personally. So it was a lot going on, you know. And then the music, I have my own little radio. My dad had gave me, it was a Sanyo radio. And I'm listening to the radio stations. So I'm listening to hard rock, disco, funk, like real ghetto funk, pop. It was a lot. It was a lot as a kid. Cool. You know, it was a lot.
I have a question about, you talked a lot about your inspirations from the pop culture, and that's we always see the OGs talking about cartoons and Sinbad, but I want to know as well, who were your real life inspirations, like your big bros or your mentors?
That was Karate Jean. That when I was in sixth grade. So remember, they had like six, seven brothers. I had cousins. So my cousin, the same age as me in height, was Sir Nose. That was Keith. His older brother was Karate Jean. So I'm living on Normandy and 20th. That's in South Central LA. I go down the street, pick them up. It was like six of us because we all went to the same elementary school. So I picked them up so we can all walk to school together. But then when I come back, I'm the last one to go home. So I stop over at their house to get something to eat before I keep going on home. But now his older brother, Karate Jean, he's in the mirror off a flashlight. Boom, boom, boom. I'm like, oh. Now I'm seeing locking, you know, from Soul Train. The party dancing, the two-step, this. But now in my face, boom, bah, boom, bah, the basic tidal wave, and just the boom, the robot, boom, boom, boom. I'm like, oh, okay. So his younger brother, we go to school together. So we're practicing, and me, instead of me paying attention to schoolwork, I'm thinking of the we're exchanging comic books underneath the table where the teacher's not looking. But then when lunchtime comes, we're doing flips. And then we're on the side in the bungalows dancing, camel walk, Just basic party dance, you know, because I was a fat kid. I was a little fat kid, unattractive. You know, the girls was talking about me, but my drawing was, you know, but my cousins was cool. They was the hood dudes. So that would give me a pass to not get beat up or not get attacked. And that's when the early era of Crip and Blood came into effect. That was like the early times. Now I'm not even a teenager. This is like fifth, sixth grade. So those are like first generation Bloods rolling 20s. But that's when I first saw In My Face. But then on TV, again, Mechanical Device.
Cool.
Then later on Soul Train, I see the Electric Boogaloos. I'm like, oh, because Soul Train, that was the show. Before you did anything on Saturday, you watch Soul Train. Everybody watched Soul Train. So then when you go to school the next Monday and Tuesday, that's all you would talk about. And you see them dancing on Soul Train? You see that girl? You see that couple? You know, that was all the talk. And I'm like, oh, okay, they're tight. That was different, you know. It wasn't like what they were doing. It was like it was different. And I loved it because it's Soul Train. If you're on Soul Train, you're that level. But then I'm also over here and I saw the Gong Show, the Mechanical Device, the guys with the white faces, with the white wigs from East Oakland. And that's set in. But in person, it was Karate Gene, Sir Nose, and then it's three milkmans. It was three men. This is before I even went to high school, junior high. That's three, because I went to a predominantly Hispanic junior high school. But it was three milkmans: Roosevelt Wilson, Fred McMillan, and Jerry Cooper. That was the one that when I was in front of the house trying to show off a girl, he walked up and he was showing me waves, basic waves. I'm like, oh, he was teaching me this. Come back next week with some more stuff. What caught my attention because I was vibrating. I got the idea for vibrating. You know, when you plug something in a wall and you shock yourself? Because I'm trying to imitate, you know, like robots would do. So I would vibrate like crazy. I didn't know what I was doing, but he thought it was good. So Saturday mornings, he would bring people to my house to battle right in front of my house. This is eighth and ninth grade. I didn't really know the popping, but he kind of took me under his wing a little bit, you know. And that was before 10th grade. So sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, I was trying to get it, trying to learn it. So before that was those five people.
Cool. And you're talking a little bit about the first generation of Crips and Bloods and about the gang culture. We talked a little bit
Yeah,
before.
that's a whole different that's a whole different, but go
How
ahead. Yeah, ask them.
was in the dancing in LA? Like, how was being a Los Angeles dancer and learning this dance in LA?
How was it? You had to, for me, everybody was doing it. Everybody, every other block. See, okay. With LA, you had LA, then you had Compton, then you had Watts, then you had South Central LA, you had West LA, you had East LA, you had the North Side of LA, you had all these areas. Everybody was popping. Everybody was popping. Girls were popping because they were showing with their boyfriends. And you had the poppers, and then you had the elite poppers. The ones that were older than me, but by me vibrating and I'm trying to get it, you know, I'm trying to learn everything. My older cousin, he came out the Navy. So when he would come out the Navy, my mom would let me go places with him. So that's when he took me to the parks, MacArthur Park. That's when I saw the music in the park the very first time. This was 72. 5, 75, 76, and they're dancing in the park. And it's so much, Margot. It's so much, you know. You have to be ready, because as soon as you go to school, it's always another dancer was trying to call you out. Oh, and Marco, that's the thing, break on him. We didn't call popping pop on him. We say break on him. That meant popping. That wasn't break dancing. Go break on him. Go bust on him. Boom, 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 boom. And everybody was different. Nobody was the same. If you bit somebody else's move and you found out about it, that's a negative reputation you didn't want. Everybody was dancing different. Everybody had a different body type, height, weight, age, experience. So everybody was trying to be different. You had people that was doing waves. You had people was trying to imitate zombies. You had people that was Egyptian, but different. And then there was a guy, Tuttenstein. He was like Frankenstein. You know, Frankenstein has a long forehead. So it was a dude with a long forehead, but he was able to use those tuts with his head, shape of his head, boom, boom, boom. And then there's Rubber Band Man, Anthony Bailey. He was real short, but he had big feet. So he's leaning. He's doing all these leans and stuff. So when you think of people like, well, me, when I see dancers of today, for example, Green Tech. When I see Green Tech, I've seen all of that. Frantic, I've seen all that. I've seen all these dudes do all this stuff, and girls and ladies, you know. But you just have to be ready. If you can either be a spectator and watch and enjoy it, or if you want to dance, be ready, because you might get turned out and get embarrassed. So that means you have to go home and practice. Not 30, 40 minutes, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. So I come home from school, do a little bit of homework with my mom, like, do your homework. But then I have my radio in my room. So after the homework, I'm turning on the radio and I'm in the mirror, just trying to, you know, get it right, you know. Never be perfect. I was just trying to get it right. Practice, practice, practice. I'm laying at home in the bed. Practice. I get up 2:30 in the morning, turn on the radio, not too loud because my mama wake up, turn the radio off and go to sleep. No, I'm in the trying to get my wave, you know, get it right, and trying to get my basic tut, boom, 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 trying to get it right, and then boom, just trying to and get my camel walk, trying to get it right, trying to practice.
Nice.
Because the competition was out there, you know, but then my cousin would take me to these places. Because by me being younger, he wanted to bet money on me against older dudes that were dancing. Cause I didn't know what I was doing. So I was young, fresh, raw, didn't care, you know. So he would take me to these places. But the places where the elite dancers would go, they were older. So they were able to go to these places, the workshop. But that's when I got into high school. And I couldn't, you know, my mom wouldn't let me get out like that, you know. So, but Jerry Cooper, Karate Gene, Santa Claus, and Captain Cosmo.
Cool. You touched a little bit on the naming thing, like it wasn't called popping, we would say breaking. And we know that through history, we had a lot of names for this art form, for this dance. We had names. They're usually local based, like names for the places.
Right, and right.
Knowing you're from LA, how was it called the dance? How you're
Poplock. It was Poplock. Poplock popping. Cool. See, that's the thing a lot of people don't understand. It's like no, it's no such thing. No, if and then you ask them, were you in LA? They'll say no. Bingo. There you go. A lot of gang members. Pop lock. Guys was locking. It's a difference. This is locking. Okay? But you're in LA, boom, boom, boom. You're popping. If me and you was to go to, say, Taste of Soul and start popping, a lot of the older people, they're like, oh, look at the pop lockers. Look at the pop lockers. That's what they're going to say. Some people was going to say boogaloo. A few people might say popping, but now they're going to say pop locking. That's what they're going to say. If we go to New York, they'll call it electric boogie. You know, it's the term. You go to Oakland or whatever, they say boogaloo. Bay Area, they say boogaloo and popping. But you come to LA, whether East LA, Compton, Watts, Long Beach, Orange County, Santa Ana, the Valley, San Fernando, that's what you're gonna hear. San Diego, San Mateo, that's what you're gonna hear. Oh, those are pop lockers. They're doing that pop locking. That's what you're gonna hear.
Cool.
It's the same thing popping, and it's the same thing. It's just different terms from where you're at.
And you consider yourself a pop locker, right?
No, I just try to be entertainer. You know,
cool.
I'm popping. When I do my classes and workshops, you know, I'm teaching them robotics first, fundamentals, popping, because you have to have your basic robotics if you want to be good with popping. Then when they want to get into waves or something, then I'll show them the animal format, the lizard, the crocodile, the anaconda snake, the cobra, you know, and then they get into the individual, you know, styles. You know, I don't boogaloo. I don't do EB boogaloo, electric boogaloo, and I don't do Oakland boogaloo. I don't know what it looks like. I can tell you what it looks like. But as far as me doing it, no, I stay in my lane, you know. So, yeah, I guess you can say a pop locker, a popper, a robot. But I'm just a performance artist, a dancer.
Nice. And do you think it's important that we say, like, there is something called pop locking? It is a thing, and it is historical. And
come to LA. All they gotta do is come to LA. Go by the watchtowers, start dancing, and see what the people tell you. Go to the Compton station and start dancing and see what the people say. Go to the Slauson swap meet. That's mandatory. You come to LA, it's ghetto, but that's you know, you go there, that's what they're gonna say. That's what they're gonna say. Look at the pop lockers, you know. They don't dance themselves, but they know because they grew up in LA.
Cool.
And now the people that lived in LA, now they go to these other cities. They go to these other cities. They go to Atlanta. They go to New York. They go to Chicago. They go to Detroit. They go to Dallas. And the way that they was brought up, they take that mentality to those cities. When the music comes on, they're dancing the way that they were dancing in LA. So when the people, the regulars are like, oh, what is that? Oh, that's pop locking in LA. Man. But now they're where they're moving to, wherever that community was dancing at, they'll incorporate that into theirs and bring it in, and then that's how it blends.
Nice. You know? Cool. And now let's talk a little bit about the mannequin and the performer. When did you start doing the street performances, and how did the mannequin came to life?
Okay. When I started doing the poppers picnic, because that was hard doing the first one, trying to get everybody together. Usually after an event, where does everybody want to go? They want to go to the club. They want to go to the party. I said, no, take it back to the roots, the streets. So Griffith Park, that's what I was doing a picnic. Let's go back to Hollywood and Highland, because that's where the spot was. 30 years later, now let's take it back to 2017 and basically take it over. So bam, that's when we did the first time, the first one, and we was out there till like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, music was loud, females, tourists, oh, it was nuts. So then that let me start doing street shows and start bringing that back. Because I would see Anthony Moorfield, Goldmine, and Automatic. They were already doing street shows in certain places, the Pier. Animation was already doing street shows, Venice Beach. And then people was going to Westwood doing shows. So for me, after we did the first Poppers picnic on the street, I said, I'm going to keep this going. Because there was nobody doing popping acts on Hollywood Boulevard, the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Magicians, You had the break dancers, and everybody was crowding in. But I always see this one guy, Anthony Moorfield, the Golden Robot. And me and him was cool. And he was there, you know, statue with the whistle and doing stuff. But then he was like, all the people, they're crouching in. All the acts are crouching in on it. So I said, well, F it. It's a problem like that. So after the picnic, we're going to come to you and we're going to take over that whole area since they're encroaching on your area. So when we did that, the first night, the people, the tourists loved it. I said, okay, I got to keep this going. So I wanted to start doing street shows. So I'm thinking, wait. I don't want to do it by myself. So that's when I brought out Tick-A-Lot. So now me and Tick-A-Lot, we started doing street shows. But now you have the characters all on the boulevard, right? You had the Wolverine, Spider-Man, the Hulk. You had the Pirates of Penzance, the Clowns, the Batmans, the all the characters, right? And I'm like, wait a minute. What if it was a character that was popping? Boom, 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 boom. Now, you've seen the Silver. You know, you go in the Bay Area, Montana Midgets, Pop-Tart, Mr. Groove, Harry Berry, Larry McDonald, both of them rest in peace. They was out in the Fisherman's Wharf in the Bay Area. Come down here, Goldmine, Automatic, Anthony, but they're in character. But their statue kind of popping and stuff. I wanted to do something that nobody's never seen before. So now you go in the stores, right? You know the mannequins? When you see them displaying the different clothes and items? What if that mannequin became human, came alive, and started popping with no face? Nobody's never done that, Marco. You can go look. Jabberwockies was never around. There was nobody around doing that. I'm like, that's crazy. Because there was a store right there. And I'm like, oh, it wasn't a robot, but a mannequin. It would be robotic-like because it's heavy. So, you know, with mannequins, you got the joints. So they'll move a certain way. But what if it became alive and had a human heart with a pop-lock mind? So now I see this guy, Iron Man, walking down Hollywood Boulevard. I could tell it was a black dude because the way it was walking, I'm like, that's a dude. That's a black dude. I got to talk to him. So I pulled him over, talked to him, and he made that suit. That's my partner. When we're doing our street shows, if you notice, he had the Iron Man suit. He had the Bumblebee suit. He made that. So now he's in a bronze figure. So when we're doing our A-game street shows, that's my partner. My nonprofit assistant. So he made that suit. So I asked him, could he make me a headpiece? Not a morph suit. I don't want to say too much, but it's a headpiece. So it covers the front, back, so you can't see nothing. But they can't see me. I can see them. So we met at Ralph's. We got to talking. He made the face. So now I got the face. I got to put together. I want the hat. But now I want it at a high quality. So now I'm thinking mechanical device. They was on the Gone Show, and they put the hood on the stage in Hollywood. Then I'm thinking about the lockers. They had their bow ties, their jackets. They're doing their stuff, but the outfits was high. And then I see Electric Boogaloos. They're in their suits, big Apple hats, and they're on stage on TV. Boom. And then I think of the Broadway musicals. You know the Broadway, the chorus line? When the people, they had their bow ties, the tails, with the canes, with the shorts. What if a mannequin was dressed like that? Popping. Never seen it. So after I got the face, I went to the magic store, the costume store, and got the white hat. And then I got the white bow tie. And that wasn't enough. So instead of improvising. So later on, Gizmo, he gave me the idea for the cane. I had a regular cane, the one that you... Hold on.
Yeah.
This is my cane. This is the cane that I had, right? So I wanted to have that effect because every dancer has to have a toy. If you're going to perform, every dancer. So this is like my partner. So I can't do nothing unless I have this. If I don't have this, I'm going to perform. Marco, it's not going to be right. So I had to get the hat, and I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna show because quality is important. And that's why I be on these dancers. They go on these videos and then seen by hundreds of thousands of millions of people, but then they're dressed ordinary. That don't know, no. The popping the culture is a high standard. So you have to have a high standard. So now when I had got the hat, is my hat. Right? This is the now I don't know how long you've known me, but I started doing my shows in 2007. Street shows. This is the same hat from seven. No. This is all this many shows. This is the same hat. This is the same hat. 2007. All the shows I did 2007. All the birthday parties. All the festivals. 2007 to 2023. How many years is that? It's a lot of years. This is the exact same hat. It's still here. So I'm not going to tell you how I keep it like that, but that's what I wanted to do, wanted to have the quality high. So now with the bow tie, I want to get a hood perspective to reach out to everybody, whether you're a graduate or a gang member, whether you're a black, white, Asian, Hispanic, it don't matter, Indian. I wanted to relate. So I made the bandana. You know, everybody has the gang colors and they had the bandana. What the flag, the white flag means peace, right? So I had the white bandana. So I made the white bandana into a bow tie. So now when you go into the restaurants and you see the waiters and they're serving you food. So you and your girl, your wife, you guys are going to dinner and you see the waiter, he has the scarf over his shoulder to help serve the food. That's where the shoulder comes in. So now I'm basically serving you the funk at a high level, but it's still a mannequin, so it's robotic. So now the cord comes into play because robots and anything mechanical needs power, right? So that's when I have the cord. I'm not going to tell you how, but I have it connected to me so the people can see. That's not a real person. They can't see my face, especially at night. They see the white hat, the bow tie. They see the like the picture. They see the bow tie. They see the bandana shoes, and they see the cane. Everything else is like a black outer space blends in with the crowd. It's creepy, crazy, but it's entertaining.
Nice.
So I
Nice.
started doing that, and every time I try to add something, oh, this would work. That won't work. Let me get rid of that. This will work. And it builds up to where it's at right now with the tuxedo with the tails.
Great. And from all this knowledge you got as a street performer, how do you think the battle guys and the event guys could benefit from this knowledge of being a street performer?
The event people, you. Okay, you want true people that do a lot of people that do events for me. I try to reach out to everybody. I don't just reach out to people within our community. I try to reach out to everybody. And a lot of organizers, they don't do that. They'll stay comfortable within their friends, within their colleagues, and maybe tell them to tell their friends. But why don't they go into the places where you wouldn't expect to see entertainment? Where they don't have access to internet, or they don't have access to our forums. But they see the stuff on TV, you see the commercials, everybody wants to get the popping, but they don't want to give the popping the credit. But it's highly entertaining. Me and you can go to a soccer stadium, right? 100,000 people, packed, biggest game of the year. It's just me and you, right? They put the music on. And then me and you go to the side somewhere where everybody can see, and let's just start popping. What do you think's gonna happen? It's gonna be nuts. They're not gonna want to see the soccer stars and the football players. They like, oh, look at the dancers, because the popping is universal. It's constant, different analogies, it's constant perspectives you can use, it's unlimited. So you can entertain for hours if you got that mindset. So it's just presenting a positive art to the people. So the people can entertain. That's what we're here for. Entertain the people. To give the at-risk youth something positive to look forward to, get them out of gangs. People that's having problems or having a hard day. Say you're having a hard day at work, you're coming home, you come across me. That idea is out your mind and you're smiling, you're happy. One of the hardest things you can do is make a strange person smile. Let alone, like, I don't have signs. Like a lot of street performers, they have signs, tips, work for tips. I don't, that's no. If your presentation is high quality, it is going to be automatic. It's going to be automatic because they can appreciate you making them forget whatever they was going through to smile and laugh and just have a moment of joy, especially for the kids.
Nice.
You know, like the Flat Top done this. I've done this 5 times. Snap's in Vegas, but he's done this a couple of times. Goldmine done this a couple of times. Golden Robot, Anthony's done this a couple of times. Tegalot done this a couple of times. A family will have a person in a wheelchair, disabled person in a wheelchair. So they're trying to make a positive moment, you know, for the person. They come across us. Oh, no, now the person in the wheelchair, they moving, they dancing, they smiling. A person autistic, they like, oh, shit. The person, he's like, they're happy, you know. That makes parents cry because we can do things that doctors can't do. That's create a smile instantly. And that's what those real popping street shows can do.
Cool. That's great. Like that was beautiful. And now I want to talk about the OG Poppers Picnic and how you came up with this vision. Like what motivated you to start doing the picnic? And also, what are the obstacles? Like, what are the hardships you find?
Oh, the hardships is trying to get everybody to make time for it. Make at least one time. Because it's a few people, I won't say names, they've never come. And I've asked them over, over, over each year. Hey, I'm doing a picnic. Can you come? I even say, can you please come? I give them heads up notice. Still nothing. In the meantime, you know, I was coming home from work. My birthday was getting ready to come up and I wanted to do something different. I was like, I never had a party in a long time. So I'm at a bus stop on Western and Adams, coming home from work. And I wanted to do something different. So I was thinking, maybe I like something in the park. Because LA, it was a lot of park jams, but community for the city. Like certain festivals, not dancing, but just certain things for the city. I would perform at those city festivals, but I want to do something similar like that, like a party for myself in the park. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Let me get some poppers, you know? And then I got to thinking, ooh, what about those all poppers? A poppers picnic. Lockers had Lockers Legends. B-Boys had B-Boy Summit. Nobody was doing dance. No dance culture was doing picnics, Marco. You can go look. I've been trying to look. The Skaters had their annual skate event. The Lowriders had their annual or multi-annual gatherings. The sports, you have the ESPY Awards for football in the States. You got the Super Bowl. Basketball, you got the NBA playoffs, the finals. With the rappers, the West Coast, I'm not sure what it was called, but it was the rappers that all get together. But it was nothing for the poppers, nothing. But yet everybody's getting from the poppers. They're getting it, taking it, taking it, taking it. I'm like, ooh, a poppers picnic. Oh. And I'm at the bus stop, like, oh, that'd be crazy. Then I was thinking, where? Griffith Park. It's a neutral park. I couldn't do it in a community park. My neighborhood, Lauren Miller. But then I did do me, Matt Ronald, and Skip Townsend We did oh shit. I forgot the name of just that fast. Peace Fest, Pop Lock Peace Fest. He collaborated, but I wanted to do something for the poppers where all of us can get together just for one day. Like the Grammys, all the music people, they get together for one day at the Grammys. All the actors, they get together one day for the Emmys and the Oscar Awards. What about the poppers, Marco? The Breakers, they have B-Boy Summit. What about the and then the B-Boy Summit, the poppers. I love much love with Asia. I've been working with Asia. Me and her are gonna do some more things. But her focus was the B-Boys. That's okay, understandable. Poppers on the side. There's a couple of other events. Poppers on the side, in the back, on the side. I'm like, oh no, that's just not cool. And then when I saw the a couple of events that were going on, that didn't have all the poppers. It didn't have all the poppers. I walked in and that's when I saw One Armed Bandit, rest in peace. That was the first familiar face I saw. And that's when I came out of retirement to get back into popping. And that was because of my mom. But where are the poppers at? He like, I don't know. So I was thinking about that too. So before I can do that, I had to get the blessings of five people before I can actually pull this off. So back then we had MySpace. There was no Facebook. There was no Instagram. There was barely YouTube. YouTube was barely coming out. I reached out to Poppin' Pete, One Arm Bandit. I tried to get a hold of Chuck Powell from Mechanical Device. I didn't, so I got a hold of Phazo, Media Circus. I got a hold of Iceman, and I tried to get a Boppin' Dre. Boppin' Dre didn't have no He didn't have no MySpace, not that I knew of at the time. I had his phone number. I called him last, but I want to get their blessing to see what they thought. They thought it's cool. I'm gonna run it, and I'm still gonna run it, but I want their blessings because they all had a voice within the community, the popping community. Pete loved it. He was like, that's a brilliant idea. Boom. Bandit was like, bro, that's awesome. And Hitmaster Fish was right there next to me when we was in the arcade when I was trying to do the emails. We was at the email shop. He was standing right there. He was like, Midnight. Oh, that's gonna be crazy. I'm like, I know, I know. And then last person I reached out was Dre. He was all for it. He was like, he wanted to do something like that. If you have to ask him, he was trying to do something before, but I want your blessing, Dre. I'm gonna do this. And he was like, okay. And so I had their blessings. So I had to think of what park. So I couldn't do it in no hood park because LA was notorious, gang culture, knuckleheads. You had to be ready. So I figured Griffith Park, it's neutral, everybody can come, and it's right in the middle of nowhere. The city, everything is here, but you have to come up the hill and the mountain with the lions, the snakes, the bears in the middle of nowhere. Picture that. And I can bring the funk to the middle of the mountain. Oh, shit. So after I'd done that, and I didn't know about permits and nothing like that. Again, I'm not an organizer. I was just trying to gather everybody together on a positive note. Because usually when people get together, it's always for a funeral or something negative. But how come we all can't get together as dancers and enjoy each other on a positive note, on a good day? Dancers from the East Coast, dancers from down south, all the OGs from Cali. You know what I'm saying? And all on the one spot with the new generation dancers. Because the OGs was here, new generation dancers was here. My goal was trying to put them all, bam, the same spot. We all do the same shit. It's just, I just have more experience than you because I've been around longer. But that doesn't mean I'm better than another person. It's just we do it different. So how come we can't get together, cook up some food just like you do with your families, have a potluck, put your foods together, everybody's eating, music, dancing, they're colliding, they're meeting and greeting. Some people haven't seen each other in like 30 years. So I had to introduce them. So after I did the first one, nobody knew what to expect. So because I draw, remember, I do the drawing. So I drew the flyer. So I was like, Popper's Picnic. What the fuck is this? Who was Midnight? This, that, and the other. The LA cats knew me. I wasn't worried about everybody else. I had the respect from the LA cats because they knew me because I used to dance in the parades. That's another dancing in parades, promoting the popping. That was like out a little back high school because I went to the Army, the Reserve, Fort Knox, Kentucky. In Kentucky, I'm on the bus and I see on the wall, kill all niggers. It was racial to the fullest. I'm like, shit. But I'm on an army base, so I knew I was safe. My sergeant, and I'm in the military, popping, boom, bah, bussing. This was 80, 84, 80, no, 83, 84. I'm bussing. I thought I was being court-martialed, and I was Private Pruitt. He took me to his dorm. He pulled out Al Green Records, Izzy Brother Records. I'm like, oh, he was from Arkansas. He knew about the popping in Cali. He called it too. He's like, so that's a they pop lock in Cali, huh? I'm like, yes, sir. Well, you can't sell sergeant. So I'm like, yes, sergeant. So he knew because he knew I was from LA. But going back to the picnic, that was my goal, to try to get everybody together, Marco, just for one day. It didn't hurt. It didn't cost nobody nothing. So after I found a day, my birthday, it was a Saturday. So that's when I started reaching out everybody's MySpace. Hey, I sent them the flyer, made the flyer, boom, start passing out. Of course, I'm getting hate. What is this? Papa's picnic. This, that, and all you had to do was come. I already knew. All you had to do was come. There was something nobody expected. When they got there, oh, shoot. Here comes all these dancers out of retirement, all these OGs that nobody's never heard of before, never seen. But now they see it in person. They hear the names, but now they see it. They see the robot prints. They see the Tick-A-Lot. They see, oh, shoot. Wait. They see the Andreas. They see the Lady AKs. They see them live. They see Miss Silver Street Robot. They see the Twins of Tick. They see the Heckle and Jekyll. They see it like, oh, shit. Everybody's together. Sugar Pop came. He had a ball. You know, because there was a lot of politics going on in back then. Nah, shit. We go out there, and I reached out to Sugar Pop. I saw him, Kid Boogie, and a couple of other dudes in Hollywood. They was in their zoot suits getting ready to do a show. So Plick Plop, he showed me, there goes Sugar Pop right there. Oh, shit. I walk up to him. I've never met this dude, but I know his reputation. And so I asked him, bro, how you doing? My name is Midnight. I'm doing a Popper's Picnic in Griffith Park. I would love for you to come if you can. You know, and he was like, okay, I'm going to try to come. I'm like, okay, please. I'm just trying to get everybody together. That's all. He was like, oh, he came. Go look at the pictures. Oh, man, we having fun. Everybody's laughing. They talking. Ain't no politics nowhere. Everybody's just normal. We having fun. So I did the first one, and then I did the second one. It was a repeat, you know, because you always follow up. More people came. They're like, because they heard the first one, the chatter. The pictures of the first one, it went nuts, Marco. Fuck. Oh, shit. Papa's Picnic. Now, nobody knew about Griffith Park. Now, the second one goes. Then that's when Slim Boogie and Kunze, they was meeting for the finals. Then they was together as a couple, but they was meeting in the finals. I didn't have much money for prize money. I didn't know nothing about events. People, they put up $300, $400, $500. I just had $100, you know. Tubmaster made the box, a car speaker box. We put the CD player on top of the box, put in the CDs, and just play the music. I had a couple of the guys cook barbecue. Just bring your barbecue as if you had your family. Bring your kids and have some fun. So after the third one, that's when I was kind of like low on my job. I got laid off, so I wasn't going to do nothing. But my partner was like, no, Midnight. You got to keep doing this because it was a very low turnout. I did it at the very last minute. I'm like, shit. So I did it. Marco, I wasn't satisfied. I'm like, wait. It's LA. You got all these dude people and poppers. And then like 200 people came. Nah. So that's when I made up my mind. Okay, I'm going to put everything out there on the line. I called everybody out. The Bay Area cats. I need you. I called them. On the phone, bro, I need you to come down. I'm doing a picnic this day. I need you to come down. And I had Brad made the footage like a video, but it was like a movie from the third one. So people can see I'm using the tile floor. I'm nailing the tile floor to the grass. They see me burning my hand with the barbecue pit. They seeing all this, and it's in the grass. So now I did the, after the third one, now the fourth one, Marco, everybody comes. And they're like, whoa, the bay came deep. All the Groovatrons came. And then there it was. And then I had entertainment. I had my partner. Remember I was telling you with the Iron Man suit? I had him come to the picnic, Griffith Park. So, you know, at the parks, there's other picnics going on, right? But now picture, Marco, the Iron Man came down the hill to the Popper's picnic. Oh, my goodness. The kids saw that. The people saw that. Oh, shit. Look, it's Iron Man. Oh, they come running. It was nuts. Oh, my God. It was total nuts. But where did they come to? They came to the Popper's picnic. So now all these other families, they seen the popping. They seen the Iron Man. Boom. Popping's still alive. They're doing it like this. Wow. They still getting down? Yes. Yes. They still here. So that's when I did the fourth one. And that's when it built up, built up, built up. So now here come the people come from Ghana. They come from Iceland, Korea, Japan, China, Russia, Algiers, Brazil. They're coming.
Nice.
And then the pressure, when you doing the next one? As soon as I get through with the fourth one, the fifth one, midnight, when you doing the next one? We coming. Now this is going to be number 16.
Yeah.
Even with COVID, I couldn't do it with COVID, but I did like a undercover one after the year after the COVID restrictions kind of lift, and I moved it to Carson, Dolphin Park, because Griffith was getting political, and people, they saw it. They're like, wait a minute, we're going to have to charge this dude. Because I was just doing it. I wasn't into permits and stuff. I don't feel you should have to pay to get everybody together on a positive note. I'm sorry. And then vendors. I didn't want the vendors there because they shouldn't have to come to make money when I'm trying to do something positive for the people. So I'm struggling doing all this and have a vendor just come, set up shop, make all this money, and then bounce. But he's not there for the reason and the cause. He's just there to make the money. So to eliminate any mess, I just said no vendors at all. And it's been working.
Nice. And
sorry it took so long, but.
No, no problem. No problem. We're here to learn. And this was a history lesson for us. But now I want to talk about, you talk a little bit about the all the communities that are coming together for the picnic. Like you told, a lot of countries are now coming together to the picnic. And I want to know, what do you want to see? What's your hope that the OG and all the people from all these communities start doing in their local work? Like, do you have any hope that your event serve as inspiration for these other communities and for these people to do something similar? Like, how do you see this? You see yourself as an inspiration? Or
I told myself I was going to do one in LA and then do one in the Bay Area. That was my original plan. When I laid everything down for the first one, I said I'm going to do one because it's Cali. I wasn't thinking of Memphis. I wasn't thinking of Japan. I wasn't thinking of Taiwan, UK, Korea. I wasn't thinking about these places. Ghana, they got something going on in Ghana, in another African city, where they're popping in a park. I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, that's cool. But now it's bringing the community, their communities together. No matter what style you do, whatever, just dance, session, have fun. You put a whole bunch of poppers together, naturally, you're going to have battles and competition. That's what it was. So I don't have to like, hey, Marco, we're going to have a 3-on-3 battle. Registration is $10. Sign up. Just that. No, 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 no. You go to the picnics, it's going to go down. Somebody's going to call somebody out. And if you looked on the videos, it's been quite a bit. But now it's entertainment for the people. You know, it's fun. Everybody's dancing. It brings the DJs. Want to resurrect them. The older veterans, a lot of people talk about washed up, no good, but now they're getting healthy. They're inspired. Damn, I'm not doing shit. I gotta get ready. Fuck, let me go in. And they start losing weight and getting their cholesterol because time is short. You don't know when you're gonna go. So now, Wavell's gone, Animation's gone, Tangerine's gone, One Arm Bandit just recently passed, Troy from St. Louis just passed, but now you don't see nobody doing any events in their honor. There was one for Wave-O-Matic at Homeland, one for Skeeter Rapid at Homeland, one for Animation at Homeland. But lately, a moment of silence for, and then they did something for Don Campbell up. It wasn't at Homeland with somebody, but when Iceman had Homeland, time somebody passed, it would be something in their honor. Now, nothing. They don't even get a moment of silence. And I've noticed that. That kind of like burns me up. Like at Bandit's funeral, I'm sorry, I got to put this out there. It wasn't no new generation dancers that came. But yet he came to everybody's event, supported this, that, and the other. Only two people came. I don't want to say that. They know who they are. Only two new generation dancers came. And they'll always have my respect, you know, because they came to Bandit's funeral, but it was only the veterans, the G's. No new school dancers, no LA new school dancers came. And it was tripping everybody out. Like, whoa. It's like, they don't care. That's what the message I'm getting. I don't want to say that, but a lot of people are thinking like, they don't even care. Not because that's right and wrong, let them defend it. But you know what I'm saying? That was the whole point. So just to get everybody together to create memories, bonds, bring families together. You know, it was people that weren't speaking 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 20 years. Picnic, boom, back together. They're shaking hands. They're taking pictures. You know, people that never met, now they're couples. Some got married. Three people got marriage proposals. Go look at the videos. And that's because of the picnics. And then two people, they wanted to do it at the picnic. They didn't want to propose somewhere. They wanted to propose at the picnic. I'm like, oh, okay. And then people realize how open and how friendly everybody can be. I don't speak your language. You don't speak mine, but we both dance. So we hear the music. We can relate. We can relate some kind of way, Marcos. I don't understand why it's so hard, but now I do get the hate. But I must be doing something good. Then that's all I'm trying to do, just trying to get everybody together. So I'm going to keep doing it until everybody's together that one time. Because then when they are together, now that they passed on, they passed over, but they did experience the picnic. Granny, she'd never been to LA in years. She came to the picnic. Agatha brought her. Oh, she said, man, like, this is so beautiful. She loved it. She wished she would have came earlier. You know, same with Deuce. Then Deuce spent some of his rent money to feed us. We fed Picnic 5. We fed over 300 people. I try to feed people, but 300 people. So you don't have to come with money. I'm not charging nobody nothing these picnics. This money is on my end. I'm the one that doesn't have a big house or nice car or not married. That's because I'm spending all my time and energy for the community, for the picnics.
Nice. You know? That's beautiful. Like, that's a beautiful message to bring people together. And
everybody else does it. Everybody else does it. Why come the poppers? But then when people want entertainment, who do they reach out to? The poppers.
Nice. Yeah, I got you. And now I want to go back with the local idea, the LA thing and the LA community thing, and ask you one thing. In your view, especially as an OG and a person that's been around and have more experience than the new people, what's the difference between the LA dance scene, the LA popping scene, and the rest of the world? Like, what would you say is LA special flavor, like unique flavor in LA?
It's more opportunity. The stars, the eye candy come to LA. The opportunity for advancement in career stuff. Because there's people that came out here that came to their country, came to visit. and they haven't left. Remember I was telling you earlier. And they haven't left. And Marco, they're still here. They're established in LA because of the opportunities, the career opportunities that approach them. You know, and then when they get a certain status, then people from other countries reaches out to them, hey, come out here and teach. Come out, you know, they go overseas and they fly them out overseas. Well, I mean, which is cool, you know, but LA is like an eye candy for, I guess, opportunity, you know.
Nice.
If that makes any sense, you know. You can be seen more because you never know who's watching. LA is like Vegas, but Vegas is like Sin City. Out here, it's like, not say the stars, but well, they have the Oscars. They have the Oscars out here. The Grammys, when they have it out here, everybody comes. They come to LA. You know?
That's
it's trippy.
Cool. That's great. That's great. And talking about like the LA thing and the street performance thing, what do you think that makes a great artist? Like, what is the difference for you between a good dancer, a person who has like good technique and know how to do the moves very well, and a great artist, like this person that is a star in some way? What's the difference for you?
As far as doing street shows?
As an artist in general.
Just be you. Don't try to copy nobody. I can see something from you and be like, oh, that's tight. I won't do it, but I might have an idea to flip it in a whole different way. But the original era is like, okay. And then somebody asked me, well, where did you get that from? Who made that up? I didn't make it up, but I saw this guy, Marco. He did this, that, and the other, and that gave me inspiration to do it. Because a lot of the veterans don't get credit for their moves. They don't. As far as performance, artists, street shows, try to be original, but make your quality high. Don't be raggedy and just average, you know? Like you, if you're in that outfit right there and you want to come do a show with me in Hollywood, I tell you, no, that's not going to work. You just look normal. You're like a nicely dressed dude, you know? But nicely dressed people are here. When you're doing street shows, you're a performance artist. You're supposed to be here, that level. That high quality. They see your shoes. If you got white shoes, pearl white, shine. If you're in a suit, everything is like boom. To even where the kids can be like, that's tight. Because kids have no reason to lie. So if you look like garbage or raggedy or something, their reactions are going to let you know. Hold on 1 second.
Go ahead.
I'm here.
Okay. Let's go.
So we're here. Yeah, but just that quality, that high quality. You know, just try to entertain the people, you know.
Cool. I have a last question for you.
Sure, you can ask whatever. It's all right.
It would be, as an OG, and we can say you are like a community leader with the Poppers Picnic, what are the hints? What would you like to say to the newer generation, especially newer artists that are struggling and are not sure on how to bring their career and their thing together? What would you say to these people?
I'm just another dude. I'm not no OG, but I didn't create nothing. I didn't organize. Just try, just don't be afraid to try things. Try an idea and like try a certain move. Try a certain move, see the reaction of that move. If it doesn't work, oh, your conscience is clear. If it does work, I got action, I got ideas. Like me, when I was putting my performance act together and certain shoes, and let me try these shoes. The reaction of my shoes. So. Put on the bandana shoes. Oh, I like your shoes. Oh, those are tight. Okay, bam. And then the music. Because mannequins, they don't talk. So my music is my voice. So I use body language. But I have to make sure I do it to where kids can like it. You want to be family friendly. You know? You don't want to have that hood perspective, pretty much, because you're trying to entertain the people. People means everybody. You know, just try certain, just be respectful. Respect the ones that was before you, because if you didn't have the people here, you wouldn't be here. That makes sense. Same like me. It was people before me. You know, like I said, Karate Gene, Santa Claus. They was before me. So I got to make sure they're looking down on me. When they see me, they're like, okay, Midnight, you on point. That way it's no excuse, because I'm trying to keep that high level. If that makes sense. Just try certain ideas. Don't be afraid to try nothing. You know, don't copy nobody and mimic them, because you don't want to have that title. You know?
Cool. And where we can find you online? Like, if we want to hire you for a workshop or a showcase, or just want to reach out.
I guess call me here or reach out to me. My Facebook is Ed Pruitt Midnight. I don't really be on Instagram like that, but my Instagram is Midnighttainment. Or the Instagram Poppers Picnic, or you can just email me at pruittmid@gmail.com. PRUITTMID @gmail.com. You know,
nice.
I'm right here in LA. I'm not hard to find. I work 5 days a week and the weekdays. And after work, I'm steady thinking of ways I can bring entertainment and create events, you know, food drives. I'm trying to do an art show, an art chalk walk show. Trying to do different things, you know, for the people, you know. And still get that hit on, you know, but I'm always thinking of moves, like you doing what you're doing right now. I'm always thinking. I'm laying down. I might be washing dishes, and I might think of, you know, because the idea of the robot is not a dancer trying to dance robot. It's you being a robot trying to imitate a human. You know?
Nice.
If you're being a waver, you're a form, a boneless form. You're moving, but you have no bones. You're like water. You're like a living form of water, or a living snake, or a living lizard, or, you know, bird. You know, if you're trying to do animation, it's like a cartoon coming to life. If you're doing touch, you're trying to be an Egyptian hieroglyphic dancer. Just make sure all your touch is square and straight. You know, if you're a puppet, just think of yourself being a puppet. And when it hears music, what does it do? It dances. Naturally, you're going to dance like a puppet. If you're a character or a creature, think of a creature coming alive. Think of a zombie. You being a zombie. And then when you hear music, what is a zombie going to do? Dance. I was looking at this show when I was little, Mad Monster Party. That was like first generation animation. You go look, you look it up, and it shows all the monsters, but they was in claymation. See, that was earlier on in my child year too. I'm looking at Gumby and Pokey, Davy and Goliath. That was animation. That was claymation, the first generation when we was kids. So I'm trying to imitate those formats too, you know. It's a lot, Marco. We can go on and on and on in detail.
Yeah.
It's so much.
I hope we have other opportunities to do this exchange. And we're going
to
list.
Whenever you want to.
Cool. I'll definitely hit you up for this. And we will put all your contacts on the every post we do for this interview.
That's cool.
And I would like to thank you a lot. I was really eager to learn more about your history. And
appreciate you. Yeah, this is our third time we was trying to connect. You was trying two different times. It was hard, you know. Things get busy, you know. But I'm here, you know.
Yeah,
easy to talk to, you know. It's the point. Yeah. You just got to have everybody's respect. And I do. I'm so grateful to God that I have a lot of the veterans respect. So if I'm calling them, hey, man, I need you here. I'm doing this, that, and the other. Only thing they ask me is midnight, what you need, what time, and I'm gonna try to be there, you know.
Nice.
I try to. Oh no, no. The new generation, when they have events, I love to be a part and spread out their information so other people that they don't know, they would know, and then they would come. But you got to communicate. A lot of people, you know, got open communication. I talked on trying to have a universal calendar. Everybody can see. I was talking about universal, like a monetary fund. So older dancer, he's having an issue, or younger dancers having problems with their kids and need some money, a fund. Put out some money, you know, just for the poppers. A calendar. It's a lot of things I don't want to put on there because somebody with some money would do it. Like when I did the poppers ball, that became to a views of like 90 million in views. But this is from people in different cities that didn't think it existed. And when they saw it, they saw us in suits. Marco, the first thing they want to know, where is tickets for the next one? And they thought it was a tour. Can you come out to here? Can you come out to here? Oh my goodness, shit was crazy. You know? But a lot of people, they like to see the older guys, the older people. Still, it's inspiration to see a 60-something-year-old dude still get down. A 60-year-old lady still split, still flip, and still can bust it out. You know, that's a God blessing, you know?
Great. That was beautiful. And again, thank you for being here with us. I'm going to wrap it up. We're out of here.
Oh, I was going to ask you about your history. Tell me a little bit about you, but maybe another time.
We'll have an opportunity for this. And thank you to everybody that has got their time to watch us. See y'all next time. I'm out of here. Thank you.
I'm out of here too. Bye.